If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for free. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required. This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast on Undertaker Day, and it's the Undertaker Day. Why? Because we have the Phenom, the dead man himself, the Undertaker, joining us on the podcast today. It's myself and Mark Henry, WWE Hall of Famer, talking to another legend, the Undertaker. Also, as you see on The Last Ride on the WWE Network, we are also joined by Michelle McCool. So on Undertaker Day, you get Michelle McCool and the legend himself, the Phenom, the Undertaker, right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Back here on Busted Open, Dave LaGreca, Mark Henry. It's Undertaker Day here on Busted Open, Mark, and someone who's been on the show before, and you can see her each and every Sunday, and we're going to get episode number 3 at 10 a.m. starting the stream on the WWE Network, The Last Ride, and I think you're seeing a lot of what makes their relationship work so well, and I think everybody's looking at things a little bit differently because of this series, and let's bring her in right now.
The real one and only.
Somebody, by the way, and I'll say it right here on Busted Open, should be in the WWE Hall of Fame, Michelle McCool. Michelle, how are you today?
Oh, my goodness. I'm good. Thank you so much. What's up, guys? Yeah.
What's going on, sunshine?
Not much.
You know what? I want to ask a couple of questions. Do we think that Mark will be able to answer the question? If I said, on a cheat day, What would Michelle eat first? Would it be A, the inside of Oreo, donut, cake frosting, or pizza? What would he say?
It would be A, C, and D.
Wow. It's a multiple choice. It's all the above. All right.
He knows.
But yep. I have one question, though, Michelle. Like, what do you do with the rest of the cookie after you eat the inside?
Well, true story, there's legit a cookie cake that I blamed, you know, first grade graduation just to buy a cookie cake that has zero frosting around the edges. So it's in my pantry right now. Kaya eats the cookie, I eat the frosting, and it's a win-win. Sometimes she complains, like, I want frosting. I'm like, but you didn't buy it, so sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
And Michelle, I gotta share a story, and I don't know if this is true or not, so you'll have to kind of, like, break the myth, if you will. Okay. I remember getting a phone call from my daughter's principal, and this is going back. She's 16 now, but this is going back a decade ago, where I got a phone call from the daughter's principal saying, you know, you have to pick up your daughter. She just put one of her classmates into a figure four leg lock and made him tap out in the middle of the classroom. Now, from what I hear, I think you did somewhat of the same thing as well. Is that true?
Well, I can promise I didn't do it at school because my dad was my principal, so that wouldn't apply. But there were plenty of figure four locks locked in the McCool households. Yeah, definitely.
Don't try this
at
home.
We learned that one at a young age.
So you've been a fan of the world of wrestling from a very young age.
Yeah, literally. I know people say it a lot, but I genuinely, it was something that it was like a bonding thing with my dad and my grandfather. So we watched it all the time. It was just something that we truly enjoyed, and it never stopped. Even when I went off to college, you know, we'd do recaps the next day, like, hey, did you see Stone Cold, you know, flip off whoever, or did you see? And so, yeah, it's something that I've just, my whole family has loved. I mean, my cousin Jenny McCool was in labor, and they made her turn off wrestling because it was on a Monday night because she wasn't paying attention to giving birth. Like, that's how
that's
bad
amazing.
It is. Yeah.
That's amazing.
To giving birth.
She's legit giving birth, and they're like, focus. We got to turn off wrestling.
Oh, that's amazing. That is amazing.
That's, you know, one of the top 10 greatest stories I think I ever heard.
Yeah, that's a true fan right there.
We need to have her call in sometime.
That, yeah, seriously.
Tell us about that. That is crazy.
Well, I don't know. My husband might put the kibosh on that because he's, you know, he doesn't get ribbed. But one time, old McCool got him. So, and that was her. So that's,
he might
be a little nervous on that.
All right, we'll leave that one alone. Michelle, when you look at The Last Ride, and you could watch episode 3 of The Last Ride starting to stream at 10 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday on the WWE Network. And obviously, as fans, myself as a fan and as a host of this show now for 11 years, like, I've only seen the one side of The Undertaker. Right. I've only seen what's been presented on TV. This is a huge leap, not only for him, but for you as well, because you're really opening up.
His friends, you know, Mark and, like, Big Show called, and a lot of the guys, they know how much pain he was in, but some of them still didn't know the extent of what he had to go through to just get through a match, you know, to get shots before the matches, the timing of the shots after the matches, the pain that endured for so long. You know, it's just, it's a really in-depth look at the man behind the character. And it's something, it didn't start as, hey, let's have cameras follow us, because that is not us by any stretch of the imagination. He just wanted to document the last match with Roman because he truly thought that was going to be it. So he just wanted some footage for us. And you see where that took us. I mean, obviously he didn't retire, so they kept following him. And years later, here we have this wonderful docu-series.
Well, my thing is lately, these last two episodes, I can't wait till Sunday. I mean, everybody's talking about The Last Dance with Michael Jordan. And my thing is watching this documentary is just as important and impactful to me.
Yeah.
You are coming across on screen so good. We already knew the wrestler.
You know me. What were you expecting? That's messed up.
Wow.
Well, I'm talking about for the fan base. I'm hearing these rumblings of how cool. Oh, no pun intended. How cool Michelle McCool is coming across, and how wonderful a person that you seem on the show. I know you. So
I appreciate it.
Do you think that this is a time women's revolution is, that you could come back in some capacity? I think that the world needs to see you.
Oh, well, thank you. I don't know. It is nice and refreshing, because I have had a lot of positive feedback as far as me on screen and just our relationship. And one, people didn't like me as Lay Cool because we were so obnoxious, but people also legitimately, like, hate me, not like the good TV hate, like bad hate, just because I'm married to Mark. It's almost like I've taken, you know, some people think they're so attached to him, like I've taken him away. So it was nice just to, I mean, literally, it's nice for people to see that that's not who I am. That's obviously not what our relationship is. And, you know, me, I can't be anything else but myself. Actually, somebody asked me the other day, were you nervous or concerned about cameras following you? And I said, my only concern was, like, my entire family, including our 7-year-old, we have smart mouths. So I'm not real sure, you know, what
something might get said.
Something might get said, and people might not think it's funny, but we will. So I wasn't nervous about, you know, we can only be ourselves. And it is refreshing. I'll be honest. It's refreshing for people to finally be like, oh, maybe she's a decent human being. Not
well, you mentioned my girl, and you know, I was very shocked that as private as you and Mark are, I was very shocked when I saw her on the screen.
Yeah.
I mean,
and part of that was because it was years ago. So, you know, I don't know that we would put her on right now. But being so young and looking so different, I thought, you know, it's hard when she's in that position because, you know, girlfriend loves the camera. You know that.
Yes,
you know she loves
does.
Putting on a show. And it's so it's hard to always, you know, have to take stuff from her just to keep her protected and for her to be able to, you know, understand that. So we left a few little pieces in there where she could see herself and, you know, not feel left out.
And like you said, this was actually meant for you guys and not meant for everybody else. So I can understand it. But, man, that was shocking to me because I know how private y'all are. And I was just really – it was always good to see my little kai.
You know,
and well, forgive me because I get the episodes mixed up because we've seen a few of them. But, I mean, she was in there with you, right? Hugging you?
No, I'm talking about the jumping on the trampoline.
Oh, then I just spoke too soon. But I was going to say, well, since she's on there with you, people know, you know, not only does she have to go through my mark, she probably has to go through Mr. Mark as well. So y'all just better back up if you decide to, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Get close, get close to her.
Don't try it. I keep my guns oiled up.
Well, you know, Michelle, you just said a couple of things that I think are very revealing. I mean, first of all, like you mentioned about the hate that you were getting from the pro wrestling community. I never really experienced that hosting this show, but you know, like the way you were describing it is like the way the people talk about the, you know, the Beatles breaking up because of Yoko Ono almost, you know, it's crazy. So you really did have to go through that. You really thought that was a perception of a lot of fans, huh?
Absolutely. 1,000%. And it was hard even just when I was wrestling, things were still so different. And of course, you know, I didn't get anything on my own merit, and it's just because I was with, you know, with Mark. And that rolls over into everyday life, like literally just Undertaker's wife. Like, you know.
That's
like,
why I think right now
wife.
Would
I have
be great.
Stuff to give to the world. Like, I have stuff to give people, like, you know. I legitimately felt bad hate. Yeah.
And I think what Mark is saying is right, that, like, you know, I didn't know that perception, but if people did have that perception – they know better now after watching this documentary,
right.
You know, like, I'm married, you know, Mark and I are, you know, we have a family. So when you see that, it brings a tear to your eye. There's a lot in this documentary series that brings a tear to your eye. Our love as fans for The Undertaker, but just seeing a family bonded together. And for you every year to keep having to go through this again and again, and seeing you stand by him, it's such a wonderful love story that's being told.
Well, thank you. And people, somebody asked me yesterday, and I said, you know, it was just our normal. It's funny looking back and seeing him, just limp, basically drag his leg. I forgot how bad, you know, his hips were and his knees were, and going through the whole process of a surgery every year. It's just what our normal was. And they said, well, how do you stand by? I'm like, what else do you do? Like, I'm not just going to leave my man because he's having a surgery. Like, you stand by your friends. You stand by your family. You stand by your husband. There's nothing I wouldn't do whatever I needed to do to support him.
Michelle, the humor is coming across. A lot of people, you know, don't expect to see. They see Mark as the Undertaker. They don't see him as Mark Calloway. And in the sense where he was like, wow, I mean, he's probably thinking, wow, this guy is not what he used to be. And you quickly said, no, I'm sure that he's not thinking that. And Mark quit back and said, well, he will when he watches his video back. And I just busted out laughing. And I know that sense of humor, and I think that I hope that they've edited the rest of this series to where more of that comes across, because I find y'all both as really, really funny people and entertaining. You know, Dave was saying that, you know, we're both family guys. I was like, yeah, you know, we're family guys. You work, my wife works out with you.
Right.
It's like, I don't know if there's any other relationship wrestling wise that I have like that. I know I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and they do. They did such a wonderful job, and they really captured several different scenes where, you know, you can see us, our little banter going back and forth, and us messing with each other the way we do, and just they capture that a lot, and I was glad that they did. I'm glad they kept it in there. You know, there's a, or even in the hospital scene where he's like, you know, I think I'm feeling pretty good, and you know, we'll see in a few months how I feel, and I'm like, yeah, we'll see in a few months. Like, come January, probably, weird, you know, you'll probably start feeling real good, maybe get a phone call, start training, then April's here, yeah. Yeah, they did a good job of that.
Here with Michelle McCool again, The Last Ride is going to, episode number 3 starts streaming at 10 a.m., on Sunday on the WWE Network. If you haven't watched an episode, don't worry. Just go to the WWE Network. Both episode 1 and episode 2 are streaming right now. And, you know, Michelle, on Busted Open, you know, we've been on for 11 years. And right around January, you start hearing me talk about the handcuff. I take a knee. I start yelling and screaming on the air about the Undertaker's coming back. I'm that guy. So, like, you know, you're dealing with the man that has to perform. But I'm the a-hole that every year is screaming and yelling that I want the Undertaker back. Like, you know.
Well,
I can't let go is what I'm saying. I can't let go.
Look, me too. On an interview yesterday, he even said, he was talking about when the streak got broken. They said, did anybody else know? He said, yeah, I told my wife that afternoon. And after I calmed her down, I was like, yes, I'm a fan. Like, you know, like this is a true story. And so, and then, you know, with the match this year, somebody was asking, he said, you know, well, AJ called me up and said, you know, if you got one more match in you, and Mark told him, like, I don't know. And he said, so I asked my wife, and I did. I said, oh, man, it's AJ. Like, yeah, like, if there's anybody you're going to get in the ring with, do it. He's like, she totally swerved me. Like, I thought she was going to be like, aren't you finished? But no, I enjoy watching him too, selfishly. But selfishly, clearly, his health comes first. I want him to be healthy. But yeah, I feel ya.
It's amazing because these last few years, you really have been seeing like those fantasy matchups that the fans wanted to see. You know, in New Orleans, you got to see Undertaker and John Cena. Like you said, in this Boneyard match, you're seeing the Undertaker and AJ Styles. So it's hard because you're right. It's like these, because now everybody has that, who can Undertaker be in? Is this going to be his last match? You know, these are like the fantasy bookings from the fans almost.
Right, right. Yeah, and I knew after the Cena match, because I knew how good he felt going in, and then when it only lasted a few minutes, I was like, oh boy, it's a given. He's going again at some point, yeah.
For you watching The Last Ride and seeing this played out and knowing that the fans are seeing a different perspective of The Undertaker and your relationship, I mean, I'm sure you have to be proud of the work that's been done and how this has been presented, and also the reaction from a lot of fans on social media.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, WWE did such a good job producing. I mean, they truly did. It's just, it's obviously I'm biased, but it's beautiful in my eyes. And I do like how they portrayed our relationship. A lot of people have always wondered what it's like being married to him. And, you know, even in the documentary, I was like, I've said it a million times, he's one of the two people I did not want to meet when I got there, Kane being the other one. Of course, I married Mark. But I was like, he's not, you know, creepy all the time. He doesn't walk around the house in his eyeliner all the time. Like, he doesn't, you know. he'll lie on the document. He'll tell everybody real quick that I courted him for quite some time. I think the truth eventually comes out, so I'm okay with that. But, I'm glad. It's nice, and it's nice to personally just have for, you know, years to come for our family.
There was about 3 or 4 guys sitting in the bowl, and y'all talked about
there, right?
This on the show. Yeah, I was one of those guys that was sitting there when you start throwing the football, and Mark turns to Bradshaw and goes, that's Miss Calloway right there.
I think now that you said that, I remember that, but that's funny. I totally forgot about that. Yeah. I was like, see, that's how simple he is. He just I could throw a spiral. That's all it took. Like,
but we all were over there like, holy shnikes. Did you see that? Like, it, you know, it was one of those Brett Favre Hummers too. It was vroom, make that sound when it fly by you. Vroom, vroom.
No.
It's like, hey, man,
my cool family, if you're going to throw, you better throw a spiral. That was all.
So who would be the one that would say they were the best athlete? Like who would
in our
I
family?
Know how competitive you are.
We all are. That's the problem. We probably all say we were. That's the problem, too. No, I don't know. I mean, you got my brother who played D1. We got a D1 football and baseball scholarship. My cousin Lee got a D1 baseball and then played in the minors for a while. My cousin Matt got a D1 baseball. My cousin Jenny played softball. We all played. Mother cousin dove at Alabama. Like, I don't know. And we're all just so stubborn. We'd probably say ourselves. So
in a game of horse right now.
Oh, boy.
In a game
well,
of
I
horse.
Well, I won last night. So if you're asking with the most recent, I won last night.
I was going to say most recent. Who will win out of you and Mark? But I guess I already know.
Yep, you know. I won last night.
Yeah, this is going to be conversation in the next 30 minutes.
There have been a lot of back and forth. But he'll tell you any sport I beat him in, like, one day we were on the road, we were bored, and we went bowling, and then, like, we had a peanut gallery, too. And I couldn't miss for some reason. And I scored, I don't know, something crazy high and beat him. And then he's like, I had a torn bicep. And he tore his bicep a few matches after that. But he's like, I think it was, like, already torn. So there will be some excuse, I guarantee, you know. No, we have fun. We are entirely too competitive.
You know, last question for me, and thank you so much, you know, for joining us. I don't know if you heard, like, if you are a big wrestling fan, you should be listening to Busted Open every day. But We did grant this under, like, I started our, it's a national holiday now. I don't know if you heard, but May 22nd now is
Seriously?
Undertaker Day. It's Undertaker Day.
Like, legitimately. Really?
I just started it today. So, banks are going to be closing. Schools
Perfect.
Are going to be, you know, this is going to be now from the end of time. On the calendar, when you buy a calendar in 2025, you look at May 22nd, it's going to say Undertaker Day. And kids are going to be like, oh, great, no school. Like, this is now starting.
Okay. I mean, it's Undertaker Day every day around here. But
I know. But now it's nationwide. Now it's
Kaya.
All over the world.
You know what Kaya said yesterday, Mark? She said, somebody asked her on an interview, besides your mommy and daddy, who's your favorite? And she goes, well, my mommy is number one, but my daddy, he's like top 100. There's Big Show, Mr. Mark, John Cena. And she proceeded to name NXT people I hadn't even heard, like, everybody. She's like, yeah, maybe he's like top 1,000, actually. I'm not sure. I was like,
Oh, no.
That's amazing to me because Mark and I are talking about, you know, top 3 of all time. And, you know, and
I'm
at least he made the
donuts.
Top 100. I mean, that's.
Yeah, I know. I think we'd all agree.
We're getting donuts.
I'm going to ask you my last question for me is I'm asking you just strictly as a fan. Okay.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
If the one last match you want to see from The Undertaker, who would you want to see in the ring with The Undertaker in his final match?
Oh, man. Like past, present, or future?
It could be anyone. Person? Could be anyone.
Oh, geez. Maybe me, so I could just finally end it and, like, just once and for all. Like, no.
That was the perfect answer. Michelle McCool. Undertaker for Michelle McCool for eternity.
Loser leaves forever.
I absolutely love it. This has been amazing. We could talk to you for an hour, but, you know, we do have The Undertaker to talk to at some point today.
It is Undertaker
Day, for crying out
it
loud.
It is.
So,
we
truly appreciate it. Again, The Last Ride, Episode 3, starts streaming at 10 a.m. Eastern Time Sunday on the WWE Network. Michelle McCool, thank you so much for the time. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you all so much, and I'll go hunt down my husband.
All
thank
right, you. Do all that. Right. Hand the phone off to the husband.
Your home for all things combat sports is SiriusXM Fight Nation. Start your day with Hall of Fame Pro Wrestling Talk on Busted Open.
Respect these men and women that build the business.
Then, the Auk and Barak Show keeps you up to date on all things boxing.
Boxing is the theater of the unexpected.
And MMA guru Luke Thomas has you covered for mixed martial arts.
Joe Rogan is the most important influencer in all of MMA.
The fight game broken down like nowhere else. Only on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
The dead man himself. And you could see each and every Sunday, episode 3 at 10 a.m. will start streaming on the WWE Network, The Last Ride. And we see a different side of this man, and that is the one and only Undertaker joining us right here on Busted Open. Sir, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We're awesome, man. Woo!
Awesome, awesome. I'm sure right now Bully Ray is throwing daggers in my back.
Why?
You know, he
you got the rotation, huh?
Yeah, I got the rotation, and it just so happens that they were only available on Friday. It wasn't like that. I was the one that said, hey, it's got to be Friday. Bully Ray, I don't want him on with Bully.
Had nothing to do with that hometown connection, did it, Mark?
Nothing.
Well, either way, I have to say, as somebody who has created this show and this show being on for 11 years and you finally being a part of it, again, the timing couldn't be better, Mark, because The Undertaker is calling us on Undertaker Day. May 22nd, as everyone knows, is now a national holiday called Undertaker Day. So it's great having you on. And of course, as I mentioned, The Last Ride available on the WWE Network. First of all, I have to say, the first thing I have to say before anything else is that you are, sir, a lucky man. You know, we just spoke to Michelle McCool, amazing person, and you are a lucky man. So we wanted to get that right off the top.
Yeah, definitely. I'll kick my coverage on that one. you know what? Every once in a while, you get lucky, and man, she has been she's been probably one of the biggest blessings of my life, and I probably should tell her that more often, but I don't need her head getting any bigger than it already is.
Listen, I got a question for you. And this is something that we asked Michelle, like, you know, probably what was she like on a cheat day? Would it be A, B, or C? And
right.
I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask you the same question. On a cheat day.
On a cheat day?
Yeah.
Food? You're talking food, obviously.
You know I'm talking food.
No, he's always talking food.
Well, you know I'm going to probably end up probably in Lockhart.
Yeah. Barbecue, number one. And number two would be donut.
Well, yeah, now, yeah, I'd have to hit Shipley's early. I'd probably hit Shipley's donuts early. And then by lunch, I'd need to be out in Lockhart getting some barbecue. And then, I don't know, by the end of the day, it would probably be some pizza, I would have to imagine. Is that pretty close?
Yeah. I knew it. Yeah. I'm sure Kai Kai would be standing there going, I get the first pick, the donut. She gets the first pick.
Oh, no doubt, right? So, like, I've you know, here those last couple of years, I've really been trying to, you know, not have too many of those days because they seem to, you know, stick around a little longer than they used to. But boy, she ain't afraid to bring in some Shipley donuts early in the morning and just have them all over her face, and I just sit there and look at her like, oh, that's just torture.
I heard that I made the top 10 list. As you know, her favorite wrestlers.
You should be honored. I barely make the top 100. You think I'm ribbing? Hey, she'll roll through, and she'll go through names like I don't even know. Like you know, because she watches all three shows, so she's up on everything. And I mean, this is like really, like I don't even know who that is. And she'll run me down a quick history, and you really don't get a big head in this house because you will get knocked down quick.
Zach Gallagher, and then she'll.
So let me ask you this, Mr. Undertaker. I'm going to call you Mr. Undertaker.
Mr. Undertaker.
Out of respect. You know,
you can call me Taker, actually. Mr. Undertaker would be like if my dad was my predecessor in this business, he would be Mr. Undertaker. So let's just go with Taker, all right?
Okay, we'll go with Taker. So, you know, for me, I'm 48. I'm an old school pro wrestling fan. And, you know, you are kind of like the last thread of, you know, the sport that I grew up watching. And, you know, and this documentary, it's a gift, you know, to be able to see this side of you. But also for me, it's like, that's like the really, truly the end of an era. Do you feel that way? That kind of this is you were kind of the last of that old school mentality when it came to pro wrestling.
Yeah. And I felt that way for a long time. And even when, you know, we first started doing this, you know, the camera crews would be there, you know, backstage, and, you know, I'd turn around and I would see them and I'd snap like, "The hell are you guys doing? Why are you filming me?" And then it dawned on me like, "Oh yeah, I told you guys to." So it took me a little bit to get used to. And, Honestly, it did not come natural to me, because I have tried my hardest to protect, you know, kayfabe and all those things. And it would, you know, it honestly, just within the last couple of years, I mean, I would cringe when I would hear people, you know, like we're doing now, like talking openly about behind the scenes stuff. It would just like, I'd grit my teeth and this, I just really enjoyed that era and the you know, the bond that we all had, you know, it's, I mean, there's still a bond there, but it just doesn't seem to run as deep as it used to. And, you know, the honor amongst thieves kind of mentality. But I was the last, I think I was the real last holdout to kayfabe. And it's funny, you know, I was last, probably the last guy to social media too, you know? And, I don't remember. I posted something. I don't even remember what it was. And I normally don't do this, and I don't normally look at comments, but I was kind of scrolling through and there's a comment that says, "My childhood is dead. The Undertaker is now on social media. Yeah. It's all over."
But well, you know what?
Yeah, and I'm thinking to myself, "You're right. I'm sorry, man." But you know, that's just, it's my instincts, and it took a while to work through that.
I think that I think it's warranted, though. I think it's a good thing because of the fact that you're one of the most recognizable and one of the greatest celebrities of all time, not just in pro wrestling but in entertainment. And people don't know who the real person is. When Arnold Schwarzenegger is the Terminator, or Commando, or whatever film that he's in, people know, wow, that's Arnold Schwarzenegger afterwards. And I think that this has been great in the sense that, you know, after you do say, okay, this was my last one, I'm not making any more appearances, the Mark Calloway will exist in this world from a standpoint of the guy that was the Undertaker for X amount of years. I'm not going to say 40 years and nothing like that, because, you know, people would.
I appreciate that, Mark.
Mark, I couldn't help it.
I know. I know where you live, Mark.
Oh, shit.
oh, boy.
God dog it. Well, I'm not going to be here in the next 15, 20 minutes. I'm leaving.
Mark, you're unbelievable. But you do make a good point, Mark, is that the man is going to outlast the character in some ways it's not, because this character of the Undertaker is going to live forever. You know, this is, you know, and that's the one thing I'm sure that makes you very proud, is that, you know, people are going to speak your name, you know, 25, 30, 40, 50 years from now. And somebody that started 100, you know, as one of the greatest of that's ever stepped into a squared circle. And I'm sure that's something that makes you very proud.
No, I am very proud. I was obviously I was blessed far beyond what my imagination could ever even dream up. You know, when I decided to, you know, get into this journey and into professional wrestling. Yeah, you know, and it's kind of strange how this whole thing came about. And this process, we didn't start with the process of let's make a documentary. You know, this original concept, it just started like, because when I got to Orlando and was going to work with Roman, in my mind, that was going to be it. And so I just wanted, because I had protected this character for so long, and you know, obviously the boys, the inside, they got to see those kind of parts of me, but the rest of the world didn't. And I didn't know what we were going to do with the footage, but I know that I wanted it. And I knew I wasn't going to have another opportunity to get it. So that's kind of how it really started. And then the next thing you know, we're 3 years down the road and we have tons of footage. And then we've got this, you know, we realized like, wow, we've got a really, really good story here about, you know, me coming to grips with, you know, my wrestling mortality and all of that. So, really, you know, obviously I'm really proud of how this is turning out and you know, in the beginning, you know, I'd go back and forth. I would be, oh, this is a horrible idea. You know, my real fan base is going to, you know, they're not going to like it. And, you know, and then there's the part of me that's like, okay, people have been clamoring for this for years and they wanted to see this. So, I mean, I had all these dueling battles on whether it was was a good idea or not, but I'm glad that, I've worked long and hard with, Dan Puccinelli, who's produced it. And, really, really happy that, you know, it's turned out the way it has.
And again, you can watch The Last Ride on the WWE Network. Episode 3 is starting to stream on Sunday at 10 a.m. And, you know, Mark and I obviously talk a lot. Mark and Tommy and Bully, who are all part of Busted Open, we talk a lot about what's going on currently in pro wrestling. But we do like to look back as well. And, you know, and I have to ask you this, because if I got you on the line, I got to ask. But, you know, one of my favorite territories of all time was World Class Championship Wrestling. And I know you kind of started there. And, you know, I just want to ask you what it was like to, you know, watch a promotion, be a part of a promotion, you know, wrestle in a place like the Sportatorium. You know, what was that like for you starting out?
Well, you know, it's funny because obviously it was a completely different era back then. And, back then all the guys were real protective of their spot. You know, no one really wanted to, you know, no one wanted to help any, you know, any greenhorn coming in. And if they did give you advice, half the time it was wrong, just so that you would go out and screw up and, you know, maybe get your notice or get finished up or whatever. I do remember the first time I'm walking into the dressing room. I don't know, I must have been, 21 years old. And just realizing, you know, I'm 6'8", 315 pounds, handle myself, you know, pretty good. You know, I'm bouncing in all these clubs and doing all this other stuff. But I walked in that first dressing room in World Class, and I'm just looking around at a bunch of grizzled men. Like, you can just read it on their faces that they had been through, you know, and probably wouldn't think twice about sticking you with a shiv or something like that. I mean, it was, you know, I had to sit there and assess and find my little spot in the corner and get out of everybody else's way and, you know, realize that I'm in a whole different world now. And it was too. It was a little different atmosphere then than it is now, that's for sure.
A little?
Yeah.
I mean, you're
an understatement, for sure.
I hear the Bradshaw stories about the Sportatorium and, you know, guys getting into it about, you know, somebody being too stiff or, you know, like, hey, that's my thing. Why are you stealing my thing? And they say, okay, well, just move the furniture out the way. And whoever lost had to leave the territory. Is that... Is that
accurate?
I mean,
things like that. Yeah, you know, back in the day, it was like you get called in the shower, you knew something was about to go down. Like that's where everything used to get settled, was in the shower. Obviously, you know, I'm definitely not making light of it, but, you know, obviously that's where, you know, Brody was killed.
Yeah.
Brody was killed in the shower. I mean, that's just, that was the common place for things to go down. And, but you're right. There was a, you know, guys protected things a lot. You know, you used somebody else's move or, you know, did something in a promo that somebody else was using, man. It was serious back then. You know, guys didn't just get on Twitter and, you know, and give some kind of, you know, passive aggressive remark. I mean, they handled their business back then, and you knew what was accepted and you knew what it wasn't accepted. And if you crossed the line, you knew most times, you know, 9 times out of 10, you were going to have to deal with it.
So what was the first time, wasn't the first time you met Paul Bearer was down there?
Yeah, so funny enough, I had I went. This is a story I really hadn't been told a whole lot. Like, I had no ends in the business, right? Only thing that I knew was that they met every Wednesday at the Sportatorium. Like, the guys would come in, get their checks, and then they had a booking meeting. I knew that that's when whoever was booking the territory was going to be in the office. So I went every Wednesday for about 8 months and sat in the lobby there at the Sportatorium, just hoping that somebody would you know, notice me or speak to me, or, you know, and it was only the only one that ever spoke to me for months and months was Bronco Lubitsch, you know, and it was basically like, oh, you're here again, kid. And I was like, yes, sir, Mr. Lubitsch, you know, hopefully, you know, I might get a chance to talk to somebody today. He says, okay. And then, you know, he'd go into his office and guys would come. I mean, and it's not a big, you know, I don't know if you've ever been in the Sportatorium, but it wasn't a big area. You know, guys would come in, walk right by me, not even acknowledge me, you know. Times I'd stand up, they just walk right by me. I was like, okay, you know, this is the way it is. And I did that, like I said, for about 8 months. And then, lucky enough, one day Fritz came in. And Fritz started to walk by me as well, and he just kind of glanced down at me. And, you know, he glanced down at me, and then he went into Bronco's office, Bronco Lubitsch's office, and said, who's that kid out there? He said, he's been coming here for months. He's just trying to get a book. You know, he's trying to get a booking. And Fritz goes, huh. He says, well, I think Gary Hart was booking at the time. And he goes, let's tell Gary to book him Friday night. He looks just like David, which at the time I did. My hair was red, and I did. I resembled David Von Erich, you know, which he had already passed, and that's how I got my first break. And
wow.
Yeah,
man.
And
wow.
And then so get back to Paul. So my first match ends up being with Bruiser Brody.
Whew.
And so Bruiser, they had just brought Bruiser back in to work with, I think they were setting up something with Bruiser and Abby. And so I'd already, you know, back then didn't have any music. I was Texas Red. So I was about, I don't know, I was 3/4 of the way to the ring before they decided that they were going to send somebody out to manage me, which would have been Percy Pringle. So I'm crawling through the ring ropes to, you know, on my entrance, and I look back and I can hear Percy like, wait. And, so I had a manager that I didn't know about. And, so he managed me about two or three times before, you know, I left the territory to go somewhere else. But yeah, that's how we started. And then, you know, a few years down the line, we hooked up, and he was Paul Bearer, and, you know, he had I guess by now most people know, I mean, he had a degree in mortuary science, so he was a shoot mortician. And it had to be destiny, I guess.
Did he rib you in those first meetings?
No, I mean, just like everybody else, he hardly talked to me, early on. All the ribs come later on.
I was just going to say, when did the ribs start? Because, you know, Paul is responsible for the me going to Canada. Because that was when he, you know, he hit my crutches when I broke my ankle when I first started. And I went off and threatened to kill everybody. And Shawn Michaels I was like, hey, man, you are not very big. If I was you, I'd keep my mouth shut. Because I will come back. I'm going to heal up, and I will kill all of y'all. And Vince was like, damn it, Mark. You came threatening.
Can't threaten to kill
guys.
Everybody, Mark.
Thanks,
but, yeah,
Paul.
Paul, I mean, Paul was, you know, I love Paul, and he was funny. And, man, we had obviously we had a great deal together. Man, he was evil. I mean, it was like good fun, I guess. But
what was the worst thing?
You know,
what was the worst
thing? You're a long list of guys that he made snap for sure.
What was the worst thing that he got you with? Besides the cucumber,
you know, he really, you know, he got me with a few cucumber ribs, but mainly. Mainly the, I remember one time he pissed me off so bad. He you know, I had the long hair and actually it was Brian Adams told Paul Bearer that, you know, they called me Wendy, like from Wendy's Hamburgers.
Oh, like, oh I don't my know, I had, God, the red.
Oh, boy.
But Paul, I don't know if we were in an appearance or something like that. And I was messing with Paul. And then, you know, he just said something out loud, like in front of this, you know, and this is like serious. Don't screw around Undertaker days. Right. Like it's serious and I don't crack smiles and everything. Anyway, he referred to me as Wendy. Oh, and about, you know, I'm like, there was that outer calm, but on the inside, man, I was raging. And I was like, okay, all right, this is coming back on you. And I think my retaliation was like, we were driving to a town to work, and like he had to really go to the bathroom bad. And I kept missing exits and you know, for him to get off to go to the restroom. And then we got into town. I knew once we got in, I think it was like, I think it was Seattle or somewhere like that. I knew once we got into downtown, like, you know, there's nowhere to stop. And, you know, it was just slam packed and crowded. And he may or may not have ended up soiling himself that day.
That's amazing.
Because I wouldn't.
That is amazing. Sir, I mean, Mark and I could talk to you for hours. I mean, this has been
I just
such
want
a
you
pleasure.
To come back on sometime.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, you're going to have to come back on. We didn't even talk about it. You know, all we talked about is World Class and Ribbon and Percy Pringle. We're going to have to get you back on. Again, The Last Ride is on the WWE Network. Episode number 3 premieres this Sunday, 10 a.m. It starts to stream on the network. Sir, thank you so much for the time. This has been an absolute pleasure. And, you know, January, I'll be doing the hand cup. I'll be on one knee, you know, screaming your name, hoping you're coming back. So I hope we see you again. And thanks so much for the time today.
Appreciate you guys having me on. I really appreciate you guys promoting the doc for us. And we'll definitely set something up in the future. And we'll allot a little more time to get into the good stuff.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.